You may know it as FARBAR. The Florida Realtors Bar Association contract is the most common contract used for the sale of residential real estate in Florida. Earlier this year, a committee of lawyers and real estate professionals revised the contract to reflect the current marketplace. The new version went into effect November 1, 2021. Today we talk with Florida real estate attorney Ned Hale, who explains the ins and outs of FARBAR, beginning right now.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast, the show about everything real estate with a personal touch. From the production studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida, here's your host, Jim Sandville.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast. I am indeed your host, Jim Sandville, and we are the Royal Palmcast. We are the podcast that talks about real estate, all aspects of it, from the perspective of realtors, brokers, agents, home sellers, home buyers, home owners. If there is anything you want to know about homes, we aim to cover it. So you're in the right place. Thank you for finding us on your podcast machine. We are in the studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in beautiful and sunny Fort Myers, Florida. Joined today, as usual, on the board by Jerry Johnson. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, Jim. Indeed, we are in the beautiful and sunny studios.
Anything new with you since I saw you last?
No. A little hungrier, maybe.
Hungrier?
That's about it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You have that lean and hungry look.
Yeah, don't I?
Just don't think too much.
Yeah, I try not to.
Shakespeare reference. Right. Anyway, I'll stop explaining my references at this point. We're joined in the studio today by one of our favorite guests, and he's proved to be one of our most popular guests. He has been on the show before. He's an attorney in Fort Myers and Estero, Florida. His name is Ned Hale. Welcome, Ned.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Jim, Jerry. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Great to have you. We talked on the last time you were on about the Florida homestead exemption. So if you are interested in that, and I would recommend that you do get interested in that if you own a home or are thinking about owning a home in Florida. So check that out as well. This episode, Ned is here to talk about something that he's taught a class on here at the association. It's called the FARBAR contract. FARBAR is kind of shorthand slang for FR / BAR contract. It's the most commonly used real estate contract in Florida, one that's not required but is frequently used. Right, Ned?
Yeah, that is correct.
And there have been some changes recently in FARBAR.
There have been. So let's just give just a quick talk here about the FARBAR. What is it? It stands for Florida Realtors Florida Bar, FARBAR. It's actually now Florida Realtors. It used to be FAR. Now it's called FR. So we don't call it the FARBAR anymore. We call it the FURBAR.
FURBAR.
Yeah, FURBAR. Like, remember, my cat has fur, and he eats candy bars, believe it or not.
My cat hangs out at a bar.
Yeah, that's... your cat hangs out at a bar.
I want an alley cat.
I want your cat.
Alley cat.
Yeah. So Florida Realtors Florida Bar, they put out a contract form. It's there's a committee that puts it together. They meet I don't know, a few times a year, and it is a form that they put out. You can tell the committee doesn't always agree on the proper, you know, documents and the proper verbiage and all that. But it is the most commonly used contract in the state of Florida for residential transactions. It's not required by any associations. And some associations, including one of our neighborhood associations, I'm talking about realtor boards when I say associations, they have their own form. They're entirely on separate form. So this realtor association, and I'm the former attorney for this association, does not have its own form, and I think that's a good thing. I think it's good to have consistency as much as possible statewide, and that's why most agents around here, though they're not required to, use the FARBAR.
So this was revised and indeed compiled initially by a committee, as laws tend to be, contracts tend to be.
And as times change,
yeah.
as customs change, as the lending environment changes, as the market environment changes, you can tell they tend to revise the contract every 3 to 5 years. And you can tell by looking back at it what some of the hot topics are.
Yeah, yeah. Well, from where I see it, though, anything designed by committee can be fraught with problems. They say a camel is a horse designed by committee.
Yeah, well put.
So
that's true in this case entirely. You can tell they did not agree on everything, and it almost seems like the United States tax code, when they can't agree, they just throw it all in there, quite frankly. I mean, I'll be candid with you. The non-as-is, which means the seller has to repair certain items, that contract's 14 pages long, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, that's about 8 pages too much, in my humble opinion. But I'm not known for my humility, I got to say.
Yeah.
But the as-is, where you can cancel for any reason, even that is a dozen pages long. Folks, I think that's simply too long. Yeah. Quite honestly, I fault the committee. I think it needs to be shorter, more succinct. It doesn't need to be as long as it is, and there needs to be less legalese in there. But, Jim, it is what it is. They didn't ask me my opinion when they put it together. Well, they don't ask me my opinion when they revise it. Fair enough. We work with it.
Yeah, we got to live with it. The committee is a committee of lawyers?
Lawyers and realtors. Florida Bar, Florida Realtors.
All right. So they truly are get together and hash it out.
And they get together and disagree on seemingly almost everything.
how long ago did these revisions happen?
They just happened. The new form will go live November 1st, and the old form will not be available anymore.
Okay. All right. So what are the characteristics of FAR/BAR?
So first of all, they always, because again, they change it every 3 to 5 years, they always change the financing section, always change it. They always rewrite it. And what I always like to say is they solve some problems and then they seemingly create others. They never really make the financing section, in my view, the way it needs to be. Let me go back to the financing section, because as usual, that's the section that had the most changes. But let me talk about a couple changes I think are good. Mm-hmm. Okay. First of all, the old form used to say this is a cash deal with no it's not financing. It used to just say if it's not financed, it's a cash deal. And then it would literally go on to say you'd check the box for cash deal. This is true. The old form, which again is still live until November 1st. You can get it online if you have these, the access to it. And then it would say this is a cash transaction with no contingency for financing. And then literally it would say, if buyer obtains a loan for any part of the purchase price, I'm like, wait a minute, it's either cash, it's not. It literally contradicted itself. Fortunately, they took that out. They crossed out any reference to getting a loan on a cash deal. Hello, it shouldn't have been there in the first place. Yeah. So they took that out. No more what I like to call bogus cash deals. You check that box, it's cash. Because what people were doing was they were checking that box, trying to make their deal look like a cash deal when, in fact, they were going out and getting a loan. It was a bogus cash deal. I had sellers livid at their realtor, their listing realtor, for not catching that. Huh. So now you check cash, it's cash, you can't go get a loan. That's what it should have been all along. That's really, I think, the most important, best change. So that's a change in the new form. Another change, they changed a little bit of the personal property section to add like television brackets. They changed a little doorbells, in other words, as default items that are included. But again, that section I don't think is terribly comprehensive, but it is what it is. So they made minor changes to the personal property section. Another very good change, I think, was that when you give notice under the contract, right? You're giving notice of anything, loan approval, cancellation, inspection results, and all that. It used to say, it's always said you can give notice between the realtors. That makes sense. That's a big deal. In other words, notice from someone's realtor or attorney. You think the attorneys were going to leave themselves out? Notice from someone's realtor or attorney is as good as notice directly from buyer or seller. It's always said that, and that still says that. But it used to say notice can be done by mail, they mean regular U.S. mail. It used to say it could also be by personal delivery. And then it also said facsimile. And then it also said, quote unquote, electronic media.
That's pretty broad.
Pretty broad. And so I used to tell agents, okay, so that this is the old form. Okay, so you mean a Facebook post? Theoretically, yes. If that person's your Facebook friend, a text, yeah, you can give notice via text, though I don't recommend it. A Facebook message, yeah, or whatever, Instagram, whatever these people come. You know, some of these kids have this electronic media ways of communicating I've never even heard of. Now, very fortunately, and it's a very good change, it says Mail, which most people don't use anymore because it's too slow. It still says facsimile notice. It still says personal delivery notice. Now it says email. It took out electronic.
And that's what
medium.
They meant all along.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well put. Yeah. Well put. I think that's what they meant all along.
Wow, wow. Sloppy crafting there.
Yeah, it was really sloppy before. Another change is when it comes to calculating time. They used to say, for example, time, it's still not very well defined, okay, because they ought to say, you know, when you're talking about time, it says calendar days. It's always said that. And then it says if a time period ends on a Saturday, Sunday, or national legal holiday, it carries over. It used to say it carries over to 5 p.m. the next business day. Now it says until, you know, the end of the day. So they clean that up a little bit, that a carryover day ends at the end of the day. And they also said, what if a national legal holiday such as Christmas falls on a Sunday? What do you do then? Whatever day it's actually celebrated, you know what I mean? Whatever day it's actually treated as a holiday, because if Christmas falls on a Sunday, believe me, most of the time you're going to celebrate and have the post office, for example, closed on Monday, right? Or if it were Saturday, if Christmas fell on a Saturday, usually the post office is closed. The federal holiday is the Friday before. Whatever it's designated, that now is the contract treats it the same way. In other words, if you have a holiday that's on the 25th of December, if that's when your closing date is, for example, it carries over. In other words, it would be treated as December 26th if that's when the federal holiday is actually celebrated per se. And so you have until the next day that is not the holiday, which would be what, the 27th in that case. So in other words, they're more clear about that. But again, they still don't tell you when do you start counting a day. Let's say today's your effective date. That's when the time period start. It doesn't say, did you include today when you're counting, say, a week? Or is today day one, or is tomorrow day one? You'd be surprised how often I get that question. Still doesn't say that. Huh. It ought to. Inexcusable mistake by the committee. They've never cleaned that up. Huh. I'm getting passionate about this.
Yeah, yeah.
There's case law, fortunately. You shouldn't have to resort to case law, which says tomorrow is day one. The effective date is not included. It also doesn't say when a regular day ends. Does a day end at 5? I'm talking about it's silent on any day ends. When does a day end? 5 o'clock or 11:59 and 59 seconds? Mm-hmm. Doesn't say. It ought to, but it doesn't.
Well, absent that, it's 11:59,
yeah,
right?
It is. Yeah. And that's right. And there's case law that says that. 11:59, 11:59 seconds is when a day ends. You'd be surprised how often I get, you know, questions just like that. So, you know, that those are some of the there's other changes that were relatively minor. And I got to tell you, of all the changes, and again, every 3 to 5 years, they change it. This is some of the fewest changes I've seen. Oh, the other thing is force majeure, act of God. In the past, you can see where this is going. They've added pandemics and epidemics to an act of God. Wow. Force majeure. Now again, force majeure, but you got to read it carefully, this long contract with lots of legalese. It only says that force majeure, act of God, including now, they changed it, just this new iteration, epidemics and pandemics, that only matters if services necessary for closing are interrupted, which isn't the case right now. Okay? You can still, lenders are still lending, right? We may be in an epidemic, a pandemic, but lenders are still lending. Title companies are still open. You know what I mean? The property appraiser's office is still open. The recorder's office is still open. So it doesn't apply. But if there were to be a new pandemic, a new act of God, the biggest one really here is hurricanes, or terrorism is included there too. And if services somehow are stopped or disrupted, like banks are closed or whatever, you know, then there's an extension to that. So they made that change. That was an important change. A lot of people were asking about that in the beginning of the pandemic. You know what I mean? The old form, beginning of the pandemic. Well, does COVID count as an act of God? And most of us were saying no under the old contract. The new one, it will be an act of God.
Has the phrase act of God come under scrutiny?
Not that I've heard.
Everyone kind of knows what it is.
Yeah, it's force majeure, which is French, probably French for act of God. But I think force majeure, French, I think it means major force, quite honestly,
yeah,
is what force majeure means. So force majeure, act of God, I've not heard of any anyone coming down on that, but that's coming, right? Someone has a problem with that word.
Yeah. Huh. All right. Well,
you couldn't hear my eyes roll, but go ahead.
what other changes do we see in the new contract?
They've added stuff. They added a new addendum. They added a few things related to Airbnbs. So, for example, all it really says, they added what they're calling short-term rentals. They never directly call it Airbnb because there's other...
Verbo,
exactly, and probably some other Silicon Valley startup out there right now that's going to compete. So they just call it short-term or seasonal rentals. They added an addendum for that, pointing out whether or not the seller can enter into seasonal rentals while the contract is pending. You check that box. They also said that if there are any short-term rentals that are active right now, the seller has to give copies of that agreement for the short-term rental, which would be literally your contract with Airbnb, just like you'd have to cough up a lease. So it has always said you got to cough up a lease, a seller does. If there's any leases that are currently active, now you have to cough up your Airbnb agreement if there are any current Airbnb situations. So those are some of the main changes that are not having to do with the financing section. And again, you know, I got to say, most of those are pretty good. All right. The financing section, when do you want me to get into that after the break?
Yeah. If you could, that'd be great. We are going to take a very quick break, and we'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Jenny Moorhead with Cornerstone Coastal Properties, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Hey, everybody. My name is Al Nicoletti, and you are listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Hi, I'm Caroline Boland, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Do you own a second home or a vacation property? Do you rent it out to vacationers? Local governments across Florida are over-regulating your ability to rent out your property. RPAC fights these regulations and defends the rights of homeowners across Lee County and Florida. Invest as little as $20 in RPAC today to help us fight unwanted government regulations. For more information or to invest, contact Kevin Besser, the Director of Public Policy, at kevin@rpcra.org.
Education? You need it? We've got it. I'm Angela Foster, Director of Education at Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association. If you're a realtor in Southwest Florida, the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association has the classes, courses, workshops, and webinars you need to stay at the top of your game and keep your license current. Looking to bill your continuing education hours? We offer core law and code of ethics classes to fulfill your CE requirement, along with many other courses to fulfill your requirements for specialty credits. Want to learn the ins and outs of the specific market you serve? Our A-Series provides an in-depth look at Cape Coral and Fort Myers with all the right experts to fill you in. Our Contract Series is a 5-session course on listing agreements, FAR bar contracts, timelines, and more. It doesn't end there. Classes like how to stay out of real estate jail, negotiating skills, listing tips, conflict resolution, and many more keep realtors in Lee County up to speed with the latest information. Many of our classes are free to members and some are open to non-members. If you're a real estate professional who's interested in working in the Southwest Florida market, we've got you covered. For more information, visit our website at rpcra.org or email education@rpcra.org.
We are back on the Royal Palmcast with our guest, who is attorney Ned Hale. Hey, Ned.
Hello. How are you doing, Jim?
Still doing great. Thank you so much. We're talking FAR Bar or FUR Bar today, the Florida Realtors and Florida Bar Association real estate contract, which was recently revised. Those changes go into effect November 1st. And Ned is kind of breaking down what the impact will be and why things were fixed and whether it's good or bad. Continue, please, Ned. Let's talk about financing.
Yeah, the financing section, like I said, they always rewrite it. A couple of things that they did to it, and again, it's complicated. I would not, if I were on the committee, and I'm not, and again, they'd never let me on that committee. I've never asked because I'm, you know, don't like to be rejected. I would be. So if I were on it, I would greatly simplify it. But anyway, what it says now is, first of all, loan approval. You still have to get loan approval within the loan approval period, but they've added that you need to get any appraisal issues resolved up front during the loan approval period. In other words, loan approval is defined as a lender saying they're going to lend and a proper appraisal that is acceptable to the lender or other valuation. So they're moving the appraisal issue up earlier. It used to say that if it didn't, you know, once you gave loan approval and the property didn't appraise, you could cancel. The buyer couldn't get their deposit back. Now it says you get your appraisal issues resolved up front, and that's part of your loan approval. Uh-huh. So that's something, probably a good change, but we're going to have to see how that plays out. The other, another major change is it used to say, okay, you give either loan approval or you don't. If you don't get loan approval, right, you can cancel. But, you know, now it says, yeah, you, if you don't get loan approval, timely loan approval, you can cancel. But now it also says, and I think this is good, that you may not have loan approval, but you are, quote unquote, confident. Boy, that's an interesting word. It uses the word confident. Confident that you will be able to get loan approval and or your lender will ultimately fund. And you can let the seller know that and proceed with the contract. So in other words, it used to be you got loan approval or you didn't, right? Mm. You had to cancel if you didn't. Now it says even if you don't have loan approval, if you're confident they're going to lend, you can proceed, and guess what? Seller can't cancel unless what? Your lender doesn't fund and the property-related conditions of the loan approval are not met, except for appraisal. In other words, you can get the benefit. The big picture on that change is you can get the benefit of having a loan contingency even without loan approval, as long as there's this word confident, you're confident your lender will fund, and you still get the benefit of it. And if your lender doesn't fund, ultimately you lose your deposit unless property-related conditions of the loan approval are not met. But it says specifically excluding appraisal. So used to say if it didn't in the back end, if it didn't appraise at the end, you can get your deposit back. Now it says no, you cannot get your deposit back if it didn't appraise. You should have gotten that resolved early on. But you see, you know, this is some relatively complex what I'm talking about here. It really is. It's not that easy to explain all this without the contract in front of you. Yeah. And I tell the agents, if you're confused, stop blaming yourself. Okay, you got a real estate license. You have at least a darn GED. All right, blame the people that wrote the darn thing if you're confused. So, I don't know. Just the more I practice, the more I teach contracts, and I've been teaching it here for a long time, the less patience I have for these drafters of these contracts that make them too complicated, too long, and too much legalese. It's their fault, the drafters of the contract fault, not the realtor, not the buyer or seller. It's the drafter's fault if it's not clear, quite frankly. Quit blaming yourself.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've always wondered, Ned, why, and maybe this is so problematic you couldn't do it from a legal perspective, but I've often wondered why, let's pick an end-user license agreement, a user agreement on Apple or something. Let's get on with my life, I agree. Well, I would love to see a plain language 10-bullet list of what are the highlights of this thing that I'm agreeing to.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Is that not doable?
You know, we all are guilty, including we attorneys, because we don't have 5 hours to sit in here and read, especially online, an end-user agreement. We're all guilty of scrolling down and clicking, I agree. I don't care who you think you are, how sophisticated you think you are, or how educated you think you are. We all have been guilty of that due to time, figure, I hope it's okay type of stuff. Let me tell you something. Scalia, you know, Anthony Scalia, the Antonin Scalia, the late Supreme Court Justice, once said, you know what? The fact of the matter is we have adhesion contracts all the time. And what's an adhesion contract? An adhesion contract is you don't really have a choice of not agreeing to it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You're adhered to it. And that's the frustrating thing. I don't know. That's a very large question we could actually have a whole seminar on. And if you got time, I got time. Mm-hmm. Just not today.
Jerry, you?
Yeah.
Just not today.
Just not today.
Okay.
But it's a great question. It's a bigger problem in this country that we're not going to solve here and now and today about how overly lengthy contracts that we don't really understand, and the FAR bar is no exception, but I'll tell you what, you agents and really buyers and sellers, you have to try to understand it, because you know what? Every word in that contract matters.
Mm-hmm.
Every word means something. I've seen lawsuits turn on a single word.
Of course, yeah.
In that contract. So you got to understand it. And of course, if you don't, it says right there, seek the advice of legal counsel.
You know, that's why you say every word counts. That's why I'm very surprised to hear that the word confidence
is in FAR bar.
Yeah.
No, okay, it seems like a weasel word. I mean, what if my confidence wanes in the middle of the process?
I know.
You know, and I feel lightly less confident because I had a drink before and now I'm more confident.
And
that's quantifiable or not?
I agree. And the readers couldn't see, but I had the air quotes up big time. You guys could see my air quotes when I said that word. Yeah, confident that, you know, exactly. Confidence is the type of thing that can wane, and it depends on your mood, and it depends on a lot of things. Basically, it says, you know, look, if you think you're going to get loan approval, go ahead. But guess what? If you don't, your deposit could be at risk. If your lender doesn't fund, all the more important, Jim, is to have a trusted lending source. I'm not a big fan of online lenders. I'm a fan of local people who care about their local reputation from a lending source.
Mm.
In other words, they care about referral. They're not just some website. These are local lending referral sources that care about their reputation. All the more important to use local lenders. I'm very biased in favor of them.
All right, Ned. Any other changes in FAR bar that we should be on the lookout for?
No, that's the main ones. There have been other minor changes about putting words here and there, and or some addenda that, quite frankly, aren't commonly used that are not really worth going over. Those are the main changes.
Okay.
But again, at the end of the day, there's no substitute for just sitting there reading it. Okay, it's the best cure for insomnia in the world. Just read the contract.
And you said it's what, 16 pages?
Well, no, the non-as-is is 14, and the as-is is 12. Yeah, and each one needs to be about 8 to 10 pages shorter. I would like that. Maybe 5 years after I die, that'll happen.
And that could be much longer with addenda and contingencies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, that's just for the base contract.
Right.
What if you add addenda to it? Condo addenda, homeowners association addenda. There is a new mold addendum, but you generally would only use that with a non-as-is contract. So you're right. That's just the form itself, not the addenda. So, you know, Jim, this is the reality. Okay. This is what I often say. Look, when I moved to Florida in 1995, there were 6 law schools. Now there are 11, okay? And when I moved to Florida, the FAR bar form actually was, about 6 pages. Now it's 12 to 14. Is there a connection? I don't know. Number of law schools opening and length of contracts. It could just be a coincidence.
Yeah.
I'm not making any accusations or making any innuendos.
No.
But I'm just telling you, if you think contracts are going to get any shorter anytime soon.
Jerry, you want to give me a hand getting Ned's eyes rolled back?
I know.
The back of his head, they went 180 degrees there.
Oh, yeah.
Get used to it, folks. Contracts are going to get longer.
Wow.
Okay? The world's going to get more complicated.
Wow.
The contracts are going to get more. Just because I think something should happen, it doesn't usually happen.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Look, at the end of the day, you know, at least there's beauty that we're all similarly confused.
Mm-hmm.
We all have the same similar long contract. There's something to be said for that. I mean that. I'm not joking anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
That at least we understand, we speak the same language of the same contract. There's a lot to be said for that. Think how difficult it would be if we all used different contracts. Yeah. You threw around different contracts. Yeah. As it is, there's a contract from a local association. When I see it around here, I think, well, this doesn't really belong because it's a different association and we don't generally use that. So at least we're all speaking the same language per se, be it an imperfect language.
Mm. All the more reason for folks to come visit our classes.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to see yourself, Ned's recent class on FAR Bar, you can go to our YouTube page, Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association on YouTube, and you will see a video of that class, which is what, 2 hours?
Yeah, just about 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah. So you get do a little bit deeper dive there. Ned, where can folks reach out to you if they have questions or want to connect?
So you can send me an email, ned@halelawgroup.com, ned@halelawgroup.com, all spelled out, or my number is 239-931-6767, 239-931-6767, and happy to help anybody out.
Wonderful, wonderful. Hey, Jerry, thanks so much for hanging out with me and Ned today.
Jim, it's been my pleasure.
Always.
You do such an amazing job.
Thank you, guys.
Always a good time. And if you want to get in touch with us at the Royal Palmcast, you can do so by sending an email to shows@rpcra.org. That's shows@rpcra.org. I want to thank our CEO, Beata Jones, and the entire staff here at RPCRA in Fort Myers, Florida, for all their help and support. And I want to thank you for listening. We'll look forward to seeing you again next time.
Thanks for listening to the Royal Palmcast. Be sure to listen again every week on your favorite podcast app and visit the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association website at rpcra.org and our social media pages, including Facebook and our YouTube channel. Check out all of our RPCRA platforms and make sure to subscribe and share. For information about this show or other RPCRA productions, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at shows@rpcra.org. This has been a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association.